This episode and a lot of the other content we produce would not be possible without the kind support of our patrons, especially our producers, Holly and Leanne. Thanks for your kindness. You can become a patron at patreon.com/explorations. That's Patreon, patreon.com/explorations. Test, test, sound test. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. We're recording from upstairs studios. I'm with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
It's a beautiful day on the deck. Nobody here was overserved last evening except for maybe Lisa, but she hides it well.
I was not overserved.
No.
I've been really good this time.
You've been, yeah.
You know, we've all been mindful.
We've been mindful. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody who overserved themselves, we got Adrian on the line with us. How you doing, Adrian?
I'm doing great this morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
he has a nice radio voice.
I'm recovering from a celebratory new job drink last night.
That's what I heard. And how was Denise feeling after your night out? Weren't you drinking with her?
We all had a pretty good time. Everybody left early, and then I went home with a couple of friends, and we got into making some homemade incendiary devices and blew some things up in the backyard.
Yes!
Hey, well, I mean...
we had a pretty good night.
Who doesn't do that on a Saturday night? So, Tasha and I ran into Adrian at Edmonton a few months ago, and he was just awesome to hang out with. And we were talking, Lisa and I were talking the other day when we were talking about pod episodes for this recording session about maybe we should do an episode on dudes. And Adrian came to mind. Tell us, as a dude in this profession, first tell us how you got into this profession, and we got to talk about the new job because I want to hear about that, and I want to have a conversation about what it's like to be a guy working in this field. So go, start talking.
Go.
I think being a guy in this profession is awesome. I got into it because I was really disillusioned with teaching in elementary school, and I felt like all of the guys that I knew in university went to high school to teach gym and to teach English, and I went the other way. I ended up going back down as playing the little guys, and really never looked back.
Mm. What age did you? What grade did you start teaching?
I actually started teaching in like grade 2 and grade 6, mm-hmm. And then when I left the teaching profession, I picked up a job actually just with preschoolers, 2.5 to 3.5 year olds.
And so
it was pretty extreme change. It was a really extreme change, and I didn't know what to do at first. And I think I was, as a young guy, I was a little bit scared of babies. It was really weird for me to get into it, but it was something that I'm glad I stuck out because I really, really, really enjoyed it. I think I really found a place in it now.
And so what was the thing about leaving the formal school system? Was there something that, was it the structure or the paperwork, or just what was it about there that made you want to move beyond that?
I think it was all of the above. I think it was the structure. I think it was not having you want to talk about guys in childcare and having like a different perspective on things. I don't think they could really have a guy perspective in elementary school. I didn't have a whole lot of freedom to be creative and to do the things that I wanted to do with the kids, and it just got to the point where I just had to leave.
Yeah, and I hear that.
And kind of get to that place where I could really, get into those ideas and get into those great and fun things that I wanted to do with kids without people sort of saying, no, you don't have time for that, or no, you have to teach this and you can't do that today, or you have to do this a certain way. It just didn't feel right to me.
And so you move into the early childhood, you start working with those real young ones, and it's scary a little bit, but just so different because they're so drooly and there's stuff that plops and squirts out of them, and it's just, it doesn't happen with sixth graders and older kids.
Well, it might,
but it's different.
It might be happening.
There was so much gunk.
Yeah.
And ooze. Yeah. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, for me, that's...
I think that probably was one of the biggest things I got. There's so much, like the wet hugs, the face print hugs they give you, and things like that. Just wonderful. Wonderful on the shirt. You know, like, you learn really quick that as a teacher, you can go to work and look nice. When you go to work with kids that are 2.5, 3.5, 4, you learn really quickly not to do that again.
Yeah, you might go looking that way, but it ain't going to stay that way for very long. And so, what's the reaction to other staff and coworkers having dudes in the programs? Because I hear, you know, when I'm out on the road, I hear a mixed bag of responses to guys in the early learning field. And so, what's your experience been with those things?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a mixed bag. And I get the mixed bag all the time. I get a lot of jobs because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A lot of people see a guy walk into their office and go, whoa, yeah, we want a guy, because they see that. They get that whole sort of positive male role model thing. They get that whole sort of difference in play styles and how we interact with kids. I think what I usually get, though, is sort of the snide chuckles between the assistant directors and the directors saying things like, oh, yeah, we've got a couple of kids for him, or... Because I always assume the guy is going to come in and sort of be like the disciplinarian, or the guy that's going to take care of the really tough kids. I think it's a mixed bag in that way. Like, they always think the guy is going to come in and really change the program. And I think also, too, a lot of people get nervous when they see guys in the room.
Why?
Especially with little guys, yeah.
Yeah, let's go there for a while. Why is that, do you think?
I think for most people, like from my experience, I found it as like kind of a novelty thing. Like people are just, they're kind of weirded out by change.
Yeah. It's just
you see a guy and they go, hey, that's the what? Like, you know, these guys are good with working like the older school care kids, the older kids. But yeah, I think there's a kind of a,
it doesn't...
an unexpected sort of feeling. Like they look at guys in the early learning rooms and go, wow, that's kind of weird.
It doesn't affect their vision of what the world's supposed to look like or something. It does catch them off guard.
I think they all think of their dads and go, well, my dad wasn't the most, you know, caring, lovable guy or whatever. Yeah, he took me to baseball games. So everybody, I don't know about him raising kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people didn't really, you know, see their dad in that role when they were younger.
Or didn't have a...
where they go with it.
Or didn't have a dad in the house. In their lives, in the first place.
Didn't have a dad in the house, yeah.
You know, we in our family childcare life, when we had people call looking for open slots and that kind of stuff, I was always the one that handled the businessy side of stuff, and so I'd be talking to somebody, and I there's a few times I talked to people, and they're like, well, do you work with the kids? And I'm like, well, yeah,
my business.
Yeah. And one time I had this woman, she hung up on me. She said,
oh, wow,
that's just wrong, and hung up.
Wow.
And I mean, my first response to that is like, who molested you? Because we had very, very few of those incidents, but in a lot of places, go ahead.
You have few incidences of where
of
somebody
people reacted
like that
way. And in a lot of programs, a guy working in early childhood is automatically assumed to be a pedophile. I mean, that's...
When I did my family childcare, and Tom quit the FAA and worked with me, and that whole big long story, but they would sit across at the kitchen table during the orientation and the paperwork and all that, and they would only make eye contact with me, and then at some point during the conversation, one of them would be like, oh, is he a part of this? As though he couldn't hear
or see. As if he can't even talk.
Right? Yeah. Like, is he a part of what you do here? And I'm like, yeah. And it was such an interesting...
I think they asked me that at my wedding or something like that, didn't they? I mean,
is he part of this?
Is he a part of what you do here?
Is this guy part of this too? Yeah, get him in here.
I think
that's kind of, Lisa, I totally agree with you. I think that it's totally, they see it as kind of like the male inside is like a director or administrator. Like, what do you mean he's on the floor playing with the kids?
Well, and we found that it was the choice, that a dude actually would make a conscious choice to be a frontline child care provider. That, I think, is the hiccup, that it wasn't something that had happened or defaulted or I couldn't find a job or whatever, that somebody woke up and said, this is what I'm wanting to do, and that's really, I think, causes some struggle for people.
Yeah. I think
it does. Jeff, I got to ask, do you get asked why a lot? Like, why did you you get into working this kid? Like, why didn't you do something else? Because I get that a lot.
I mean, I did, but, I mean, it's been so long that people
just assume
I'm screwed up and couldn't get a real job. No, yeah, and I mean, my story is it was accidental. I mean, I started out volunteering in a community center, and my volunteer job was to play dodgeball. And if you can volunteer at a job where you get to throw Nerf balls at the heads of cocky 10 and 12 year olds, I mean, you're there. And then a while later, they started paying me for that. And when you get paid to throw Nerf balls at the heads of middle schoolers, life is just good. It just grew from there. But I met in Winnipeg a couple weeks ago, and I wish I could remember the guy's name. I think it was Winnipeg. Maybe it was.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you told me.
I can't remember the guy's name, and if he's listening, please tell him. I meet too many people. But anyway, ran a family child care program. His program, it's just him and 2 year olds.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
He had a toddler son. His wife worked out of the house, and he was just freaking awesome. And it was a mindful choice he made because wanted to be part of his son's life, and families were loving it.
I
love those kind of mindful choices. But we discourage that in this profession. I know of programs that won't hire men.
Yeah,
and I know of programs that if men are on staff, they have a special set of rules for them.
Mm-hmm.
No diaper changing,
hands
off, no laps, that kind of stuff. And that just, I mean, it reeks of all kinds of stuff that's wrong. Have you ever experienced any of that kind of stuff?
I don't think I've really, you know what? I think when I first really early on started, I think people were keeping an eye on me. Part of that might have been my own self-consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but part of that I really feel like there were no special rules, but I think everybody in my workplaces at the time were kind of looking a little, looking a little extra, you know, following you down the hall and making sure that you weren't, doing anything untoward or that looked a little weird or whatever. Now I don't, not so much. And I guess that's maybe just because I can kind of walk the talk and, you know, people kind of respect it a bit more, but like 10 years ago, I didn't think it was just weird for people.
Yeah.
So I definitely had people saying like, if you're going to do bathroom trips, make sure you bring another staff with you, or, just really kind of odd. Almost like really uneducated or rude comments like that.
Yeah.
Bring somebody else. We kind of like the old, what's the old Scouts Canada rule of twos where you got to have 2 leaders with
yeah,
the kids?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, something like that, right? Like it's like, oh, we'll bring a staff with you. And they always kind of tried to hide it. It's like, you know, just in case you need any help or anything like that. I'm like, well, it's not going to need help.
Yeah. Right.
You know, apparently. But,
yeah.
But
you call it whatever
you need
to
feel
good,
yeah.
right?
Well, I have like
but
a
I think
whole
on the other hand, it's
this.
Nice because I think once you get in and you get people get comfortable with you, it doesn't go on for really long. Like it's just that first kind of month or something, and people get a little bit suspicious and weird, and then after that, they're fine with it.
Yeah, and I mean now you've got 10 years of experience that in this profession that leads to a little bit more trust and respect, I think, when you're changing jobs and doing that kind of stuff.
I also think, though, Adrian, I think it's a nod to you that you were able to kind of work through that. I often wonder how many guys do we lose because mm-hmm. they get so fed up with the inconsistent treatment between male and males and females in our profession.
Oh,
you know, push through
thank
it.
Thank you for bringing that. That's such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up because that's something that, I mean, I've gone through that. Like, holy shit, maybe I should just go be a plumber and make a buttload of money.
I mean, that's the reality. Of it.
But seriously, Lisa, you know, I've seen a lot of guys who do it for a couple of years and then think like, and they love it. They're happy. They really enjoy their job. They love kind of having the freedom that guys have when they get to do stuff that other people don't with kids. And then they leave because they feel kind of like maybe this isn't the right thing for me or I'm supposed to be doing something else. Or like, I live in Alberta. Everybody thinks they should go work in the oil patch and make
right.
a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Nobody thinks about going to work with kids.
Right. I am bothered to the core of my being with inconsistency as a rule, and especially when it comes to this, you know, that, and also even just as somebody who works in the, like a social services industry, when people think that it's only dudes that do inappropriate things to children, I mean, just even that right there, you know, why do we just assume that because you're a guy, you need to have an assistant walk with the bathroom? You know, what's up with the chick? I mean, why? Just that double standard just makes me stupid crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until you're proven innocent.
Yeah, and I would argue the complete opposite with dudes in early childhood.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this.
Sure.
We've talked about this in other episodes. Hire people you freaking trust, and if you don't 100% trust them, don't let them in the building.
Whether they're a guy or
period.
A girl.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so let's go a different way here. What do you think? Having dudes, having guys, having men in early learning programs, what do we bring to the table that is different and unique and special that that kids might not be getting without us in the programs?
That's a good question.
My experience? Wow. Like, I think, honestly, the big R word, the risk, is a huge one. The guys are so not afraid to try things that a lot of women caregivers are not.
Like firecrackers behind the shed.
So many times, even these little things, like guys really have such a different style with the kids. I think they're really willing to go out on the sharp end a little bit more than a lot of other people are. And I think kids really obviously benefit from that.
Yeah, I agree.
And what about stuff like rough and tumble stuff, that big body stuff, too?
All the time, man. And I think the guys can get away with stuff like that because They just, for some reason, I think there's a certain thing for me that follows me along when I do stuff like that with the kids, and they really, really see, the staff really see, hey, you know, there's a guy running that. The kids are pushing and shoving, and what, but it's a guy over there. He'll take care of it.
So it's okay.
So I think that's a really cool thing that happens, is that when they see rock and tumble play, they don't want to jump in right away. They don't want to see that risk-taking play. They don't want to jump in right away and say, oh, no, Lord, because there's a guy there. Mm. And they say, oh, the guy can take care of it. He's fine.
So
I'm not sure where that comes from, man, but I like it. I like being able to get away with it. I like being able to do things that really make
get away
people
with
their
it.
Heads and go, whoa, I didn't know we could do that. But, you know, it really puts you in a kind of a cool place, I think, to allow the kids to do some stuff that they wouldn't normally do under the sort of the watchful eye sometimes.
I have a direct question for you. Have you felt, and you alluded to it previously, have you figured out how to put up to push back against being the on-site disciplinarian? Like, have you developed some kind of language or something so that your staff members that you work with know that, like, you know, I'm not, you know, the big scary voice that needs to come in and tell the room to calm down? Have you? Do you understand my question? Like, are you comfortable saying that's
I
not
do.
My role?
I do, Lisa. And, you know, it really used to make me pissed off and sad when I would get like performance evaluations, right, from your director or whatever, or whoever's running your program. They would often say in the report things like, you know, things about tone of voice. Mm. You know, well, you just make sure that you're really careful. We're not saying that you're angry, but, and they always try to kind of dance around. You have a loud voice. Like, I do. I'm actually not a big guy. I'm 5'9", I'm skinny as a rail, but I've got a really big voice. And I think a lot of people say, you know, well, you really have to watch your tone of voice. You know, just make sure it doesn't get too, you know, that loud, angry teacher voice. And, you know, like, I'm not sure.
So what do they want you?
Angry, just because it's loud. So I end up kind of, you know, yeah, I really had to develop a way to, for myself, to kind of talk to people about that. Say, hey, listen, you know, I'm not angry. Like, you just need to understand. When I talk firmly to the kids, especially, is that, you know, if there's a problem, that it's not coming from a place of anger.
Yeah.
It just needs you to know that it's coming from just
voice.
Because I'm a guy.
It's a male voice. And what do they want you to do? Do they want you to use the fake sing-songy voice? Hey, friends, let's all sit down.
Oh, God.
Crisscross applesauce. Is that what,
Sorry, I just barfed on the microphone a little bit.
That's just not a thing. And my experience with this has been the same, because there is that guy voice, and I mean, there's the mommy voice too. Tasha used it, if you listened to the previous episode, when we talked about the nice crackhead the nice Canadian crackhead we had to deal with. She took care of that problem with her mommy voice. But there is that I always called it the daddy voice, that male, not I'm angry, angry, but hey, you need to listen to me right now.
But I think females in this profession need to not think that that's the only thing that dudes bring to the table.
Well, yeah.
In too many environments, that's what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you could, it's a powerful, powerful tool when used right. But I think it's also a lot of the females in this profession have negative connections with a stern-sounding male voice for whatever reasons.
Absolutely.
And so that's their own.
To the other part of Lisa's question, Jeff, which is like, why are we kind of called in as disciples? Oh, I can't deal with this guy. Can you go and talk to him?
It's
partially because you got that loud voice, partially because I think everybody grew up with that dad as the disciplinarian thing, right? Wait till your father gets home.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I kind of, you know, for me, because I've been in it so long, I've kind of developed this this way of deflecting that and saying, well, what have you done already? What kinds of things do you have in place for this guy? What have you tried?
Uh-huh. Good.
And then
I like
people
that.
Say, well, we've done this, and then I say, okay, well, what do you want to see from me? What do you, why do you think I can make a difference with this guy? Like, what are you expecting from me to go in with this little kid and do what you can't do?
Excellent.
And so people really look at you and go, what? Huh?
Yeah.
And I'm like, honestly, just because you think I'm a guy, I'm going to be able to handle this? No.
Like,
what do you want me to do that you can't do?
Yeah, I like that.
And people will often say, we just need that. We need that kind of stern male mentality.
Yeah,
or
but
that
who
stern
needs
male
it?
Approach. And I'm like, oh, okay. And usually,
the teacher needs
you know,
it.
I've been
not
working with special needs kids for over a decade, and honestly, the stern male approach doesn't work with these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure why they're bringing me in to begin with.
And so what's your favorite part about the job?
I think my favorite part about the job totally goes back to being able to get away with a bunch of stuff that most people wouldn't be able to get away with.
I like this guy, Jeff.
but being smart enough to be able to justify it.
There you go.
Well, it's
I think there's the messy thing. I think, hey, it's Happy Mud Day, everybody, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Happy Mud Day.
It's the muddy stuff. It's the messy stuff. It's the crazy, stack two picnic tables on top of each other to make things to jump off of. Stuff that other people would not even think of or kind of go, you know what, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's try it anyway.
It's a good idea for some reason.
Have you ever...
Nothing a guy does is a good idea, but we get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my life.
have you ever played picnic table tag?
No.
Okay, here's something the community center kids and I came up with years ago. You know how you go to parks and they've got like the picnic shelters with all the picnic tables under them? You make sure that they're kind of clustered together, but you have to stay on top of the picnic tables.
Oh my God.
And so you're running and jumping around like billy goats up and down and you get tagged, you get off the tables until you're down to the last two and it's a good way to have fun. And we didn't have any, it's something we played regularly and we'd never had any broken limbs or bones sticking out or contusions or anything. Thing, and it was pretty awesome.
In case we explode in the next 10 seconds, there's an electrical storm that just moved in. So if all of a sudden the connection on the phone goes dead, you'll know why.
Oh, that's how I'm going to end the episode.
Okay.
It's all captured on film.
Jeff passed out and landed his face on the phone or something.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, that could happen. And so we're coming up on 25 minutes already. Time flies. Tell us about the new job. What are you gonna be doing? I saw the post about it the other day. By the time this airs, you'll have been doing it six months.
Yeah, I landed a new job with E4C, which is one of Edmonton's oldest human and social services agencies. We do a lot of stuff around poverty reduction, homelessness, and mental health. I work in their early learning division, which is basically a Head Start program. Started this year as their one and only ever male early education teacher. Which was a real cool. In 45 years, they've never had a male teacher.
Wow!
Awesome!
Congratulations!
So that was a really cool thing. I felt pretty honored and special about that. They liked me so much, they decided to promote me to classroom supervisor for Head Start and Early Ed. So basically, now it's really exciting. I get to train staff. I get to mentor all of the early learning professionals in the room and the teachers. I have to do a little bit of administrative. So there's the payroll and things like that, which I'm not really fond of. But most of the time I get to be in the classroom just popping in with the cool things to show people and we'll get messy, we'll get, you know, we'll have fun and get loud. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I get to change things from the inside out, which is a really great privilege
awesome.
For me.
Awesome. We were talking.
Yeah, man. I spent my whole year sort of pushing play and, you know, promoting this to parents and other staff, and now they want to pay me to do it.
Yay! That's not better.
That's nice when you get paid to do something you're already doing. That's kind of awesome. And before we wrap up,
Now I get it. Now I know what you guys do. Like, you get paid to talk about things you love every day. Like, that just is awesome for me. So, and I'm kind of hoping maybe, you know, enough room to get some time in with the kids. But overall, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait.
That's going to be great. And before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about Pub Night, because we talked to Angela Hill about that. But I want to plug that again, because we think that's a brilliant idea and a great way to kind of build community and relationships and without the formalness.
And support. And support.
And support without the formalness of a local support group
board
with a board and all that kind of stuff. So
notes and minutes and, yeah.
Tell us what
Pub Night is. Pub Night came out of I think our hangout here in Edmonton. Jeff, Angela was there because she was asking about, how to kind of develop some networks and some community. And I think halfway through our conversation, I leaned over to her and I said, "Hey, Angela, what about like an early ed Pub Night? Because this seems to be going pretty well with Jeff and Tasha right now. I don't see why this couldn't be anything other than good."
And you're like, it'd be great if these Americans weren't here.
So our next one is that we've had one already. It was at the end of the year, so a lot of people were kind of hung up with IPPs, teacher meetings and things. But our next one is July 23rd, and what we've been doing is just moving different locations around the city, different bars, different kind of little gastro pubs and things like that. And just kind of flogging it, like, putting flyers out to daycares and preschools, posting it on the Alberta Preschool Teachers websites, all sorts of things. We're getting some really interesting people. We're getting occupational therapists.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Language assistants. We're getting people from all professions who work with that age group. And really neat. You know, we're not steering it in any direction. The conversation's just happening. People are having a really good time. And I'm really excited for our next one. I think it's going to be a good thing. We're going to keep it going month to month for a while.
I'm going to keep an eye on that, because I want to try to learn from what you guys do to see if we can help replicate that in other communities, because I think it's a brilliant idea you guys had.
Oh, thank you, man. It's really cool.
It's starting to rain harder, and it's time to wrap up anyway. So, hey, Adrian, thanks a ton for joining us. We're going to be back next week with another episode, and hopefully next time we record in January, maybe we can check in with you again and see how things are going with the new job and any other insights you've had about being a dude in early learning. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. Have a great day. Enjoy that mud.
We're good. With this rain, we're going to.
My 4-year-old just crawled in the room. I think we're going to suit up and head out into the dirt here.
Have a good one, man. Enjoy the bacon. Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.